From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, March 8th, 2018. And on this day, we'll look at the ongoing debate over the danger the lobster industry might pose to North Atlantic right whales, and why your commute is a little sweeter if you live around Bangor. That's ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by New England Rehabilitation Hospital of Portland, helping patients and their families after illness or injury. Learn more at nerhp.org. And by Lee Auto Malls, 4 generations serving Mainers since 1936, 19 Maine locations, and at leeauto.com.
The coastal storm that has brought 10 to 15 inches of snow to much of the state is slowly making its way toward New Brunswick's border with eastern Maine. Nearly 20,000 people in Maine don't have power right now, 12,000 of those in York County and many more along the coast. A report by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control says Maine emergency room visits for opioid overdoses increased in the last year. The Portland Press-Herald reports that CDC numbers show emergency department visits for suspected opioid overdoses increased by 34% between 2016 and 2017. Maine Health and Human Services Commissioner Wicker Hamilton says he welcomes an outside review of the way the agency handles child abuse complaints. That's after the state Children's Welfare Ombudsman said there have been too many times when the department's assessment process has not moved swiftly enough to protect children. Well, it's been another week, another nor'easter. The storms caused problems all over the area. And it's also made the commute on slick, snow-covered roads slower than molasses running uphill. If you happen to be driving uphill in Bangor, you weren't just slower, though, than molasses. You were actually driving on it, or more accurately, molasses-treated road salt. It's used to help keep salt stuck to road surfaces. A.J. Higgins has details.
As snowplow crews in Bangor work throughout the day to clear the roads, they turn to a product called Ice Be Gone, or IBG Liquid Magic, a molasses-based liquid that Public Works Director Dan Wadwell says provides more traction while using less salt. Wadwell says it's not exactly the sort of thing that you'd pour on your pancakes.
It's kind of brown. I didn't taste it or anything, but they tell me it's a molasses base.
Magic makes the salt adhere to road surfaces longer, eliminating the need for reapplications. Wadwell says it saves money and results in less sodium chloride runoff, raising the salinity levels in area streams and ponds. The key, he says, however, is to be prepared well before the first snowflake falls.
Before the storm, the last couple of days, we put a mixture of salt brine, of 70% salt brine and 30% magic, which is a magnesium chloride. It's got molasses with it. And so we put that on the roads to kind of help at the beginning of the storm.
And molasses isn't the only ice removal additive that would seem more at home in a kitchen cupboard than in a chemical laboratory. Some highway departments in Wisconsin use cheese brine. Others in North Carolina have added beer waste to their road salt. The Maine Department of Transportation has actually used beet juice in the past, says maintenance engineer Brian Byrne.
We basically were mixing it with a calcium chloride or with a salt brine. It worked out pretty well. It was a little more expensive. I think to haul the beet juice out here, it was like close to $3 a gallon, and we can buy the current product that we buy is called Magic Minus Zero, and that instead of using the beet sugars, it uses molasses. So it's the same concept, just a slightly different material.
Jonathan Rubin says these innovations are a welcome way to reduce the environmental effects of road salt. Rubin, the director of the Margaret Chase Smith Policy Center at the University of Maine, was the lead author of a 2010 report detailing road salt use in the state.
The key is to be smarter about this and use less by better management. And the Maine DOT is doing a good job in educating, but they only control certain, you know, Maine state roads. There's a huge amount of salt used on the municipal level and town level, and it's really about getting best practices out to all the towns and contractors to reduce salt to the bare minimum that's necessary for our clear roads.
In addition to cleaner water, Rubin says there are real financial incentives to use road salt strategically. Rubin says the annual road salt price tag for the DOT, the Maine Turnpike Authority, and the state's municipalities comes in at just under $100 million annually. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
The population of the endangered North Atlantic right whale took a big hit last year. A record number of whales were found dead in Canadian waters from ship strikes and entanglements in fishing gear. With this year's calving season ending and no new births observed, an ongoing debate over whether Maine's lobster industry poses a mortal threat to the species is gaining new urgency. Fred Bever has more.
Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution scientist Mark Baumgartner says that to help the whales survive much longer, the ropes Maine lobstermen use to tend their traps have to be modified or even eliminated. And it's not just for the whale's sake.
I feel the industry is in jeopardy.
Baumgartner was at the Fishermen's Forum in Rockland late last week to detail the whale's plight. If the lobster industry doesn't respond effectively, he says, the federal government will step in.
As the population continues to decline and pressure is put on the government to do something about it, then they're going to turn to closures because that's all they'll have.
There were about 450 North Atlantic right whales estimated to be alive in 2016, but there were only 5 calves born last year and a record 17 deaths caused by entanglements or ship strikes. Baumgartner says with another death and no new births this year, the trend line is tipping toward effective extinction of the whale within 20 years. He's getting a somewhat frosty reception from Maine lobstermen.
There was a lot of deaths on the right whales this year, but none in the Gulf of Maine.
Bob Williams has been hauling traps off Stonington for more than 6 decades. He says over the last 10 years, lobstermen have already made expensive adjustments in response to federal regulation, buying ground lines that sink to the bottom instead of floating free, and stringing more traps to a single buoy line. He thinks the latest solutions proposed by the scientists, weaker ropes or even ropeless technology that relies on radio signals to locate traps, are likely unworkable off Maine.
Because we have heavy tides and all that, and the further east you go, down towards eastern Maine, the extreme tides down there.
And many fingers in Maine are pointing at Canada.
Canada needs to step up.
That's Patrick Kelleher, the commissioner of Maine's Department of Marine Resources. He says while the Gulf of Maine is a known part of the whale's territory, it's mostly far out from Maine's coast, and few lobstermen ever see one. Meanwhile, he says, Canada's Gulf of St. Lawrence has suddenly become a killing ground.
With what's going on in the Gulf of St. Lawrence right now with the Canadian crab fishery, that's where most of that gear is. If you looked at the diameter of the rope, that's not Maine fishing gear. You know, so could be offshore lobster gear, but a lot of it is known to be Canadian.
In an unusual new circumstance, most of the whale deaths last year were found in Canada's Gulf of St. Lawrence rather than U.S. waters. Scientists conjecture that the whales are ranging more widely, following the ebb and flow of their primary food source and maybe looking for new ones. Their staple is a tiny crustacean called Calanus finmarchicus, whose abundance may be subject to changing currents and to climate change.
The reason whales died last year is because they were utilizing relatively new habitats where there's no protective legislation in place.
Aaron Meyer Gutbrod is a marine scientist at the University of California, Santa Barbara.
So when the whales go up to the Gulf of St. Lawrence, where we don't expect to see them, then they're facing waters that aren't protected by vessel speed reductions, fishing gear regulations, seasonal fishery closures. They don't have any of those protections because we didn't realize they were going to be there.
The Canadian government is moving toward new regulation. Earlier this year, it imposed requirements that would be familiar to U.S. lobstermen, strictures on floating rope, marking rope so it can be identified if found on a whale, mandatory reporting of lost gear. Last week, Canada's Department of Fisheries and Oceans biologist Matthew Harding floated a new idea to fishermen in New Brunswick's growing snow crab industry. He told a CBC reporter that the government could shut down a large swath of the fishery during a period when whales might be present, or it could take more dynamic action.
Which would be smaller temporary closures that could be more mobile and more tailored and specific to certain areas.
More dynamic short-term closures for quick response to changing whale habits are being considered in the U.S. too. Some Maine scientists are working on the idea, but they say they need more time and funding before their models could be accurate and nimble enough to help. There may not be much time. Last month, the Conservation Law Foundation's Portland office filed a federal lawsuit against the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration for violating the Endangered Species Act. CLF says NOAA is failing to regulate Maine's lobster fishery in a way that protects the North Atlantic right whale from extinction. CLF lawyer Emily Green says it's a vital issue for the organization's members.
The majesty of this incredible species that they've been able to experience, those are moments that these people really treasure. They would experience it as a personal loss if they knew that was something they could never experience again, because in their lifetime, their own government had failed to protect the preservation of the species.
Stakeholders in both countries are working to devise new ways to preserve the whales, as well as lobster and crab fisheries. The U.S. government says it's already launched an assessment that could be the basis for new rules that will take at least a half a year to complete. CLF's lawsuit and another from other environmental groups say the government should be forced to complete the assessment within 2 months. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Thursday, March 8th, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.